according to St. Matthew. The mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered, "Command that these two sons of mine sit, one on your right, the other on your left, in your kingdom." Jesus said in reply, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I'm going to drink?" They said to him, "We can." He replied, "My chalice you will indeed drink. But to sit at my right and at my left, this is not mine to give. It's for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the ten heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus summoned them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authorities over them felt. But it shall not be this way with you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Didn't have COVID, I would have been in Spain this month with my brother and his family making the Camino de Santiago. But this year, because of COVID and other things, we all have to make the Camino in a different way. And that journey that unites believers and bohemians in Spain is just a small little image of the type of way each of us is meant to follow the Apostle St. James's footsteps, following Jesus up close all the way to and through Calvary to the house of the Father. What is this way of St. James? It's important for us to see how special he was to Jesus among the apostles and ask the question, why? St. James, of course, was one of the first four called by the Lord. After Jesus had gone and called Andrew and Peter from their boats, went a short distance further and called James and John from their father Zebedee and their boats to follow. From that point forward, Peter, James, and John were the closest of the apostles to Jesus. They were the three who alone went with Jesus to heal Peter's mother-in-law. They were the three who alone went with Jesus into the house of Jairus and raised her girl from the dead. They were the three who climbed that exceedingly high mountain to pray with Jesus. They were the three who alone went a short distance away in the Garden of Gethsemane to pray with him as he was praying to do the Father's, not his own will. Peter makes sense to us. He was the one who stood out as a leader from the beginning. What made James and John so conspicuous that they would have been among those closer to Jesus? I think it has everything to do with the fact that they were zealous. They had some fire within. They were ambitious, but the Lord needed to convert their ambition into a holy one from an earthly. We see a little bit of that ambition when, after the Samaritans refused Jesus' passage because they wanted Mount Gerizim instead of Mount Zion to be the religious capital of all those in the Holy Land. They wanted to call down fire from heaven to destroy that town, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus didn't rebuke them in a way in which he just totally opposed their sense of righteous indignation. Jesus, though, wanted to show them his way, that he had come not to destroy cities, but to save cities, and to try to make that rejection ultimately salvific. But they had that righteous indignation. You don't hear many of the other apostles speak a word. They cared. They wanted it. We see again that ambition here. We've got the two accounts. Mark's account, Matthew's account. In Matthew's, you have the mother approach. In Mark's, you have the apostles themselves approach. It was clear that they had been talking with their mama about getting the choice seats in Jesus' messianic administration that they anticipated would arrive. Do you know what you're asking? Can you drink the chalice that I am about to drink? I think Jesus had to be pleased with the two of them saying, not knowing even what he was saying in its fullness, that it would be the chalice of suffering announced by the suffering servant Psalms in Isaiah. We can. They were willing to give Jesus the blank check. They were willing to follow him anywhere. So Jesus said that those two seats were prepared for the good thief and the bad thief, essentially, as he would enter into his kingdom. But that they would drink his chalice. What he was trying to communicate to them was drinking the chalice was more important than those seats, because it would be a participation in Jesus' saving love. And then after the ambition of the other ten was shown, not in a direct way, but in a carping way behind the scenes and murmuring, which is really quite lame, Jesus called all 12 of them together and talked about this conversion of ambition that he wants in everyone. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority felt. But it shall not be this way among you. Jesus wants an ambition, but this is what he wants it to be. That if you want to be ambitious, become the servant of all. If you want to become the greatest, become the servant of all the rest. As we've talked about before, the among you in Greek means literally among you. That it's not this big, vast, among everybody. That the way we become truly great is in those little circles, or convents, or rectories, or mission staffs, or families in which we're placed. God really wants us to become great precisely through serving all the others. That's the path of great holiness, loving those who are literally our neighbors, not going out and trying to find neighbors. James and John said, we can drink that type of chalice. And when we do, what happens? We begin to have the life of us, the life of Christ manifested in us. This is the essence of that perhaps most eloquent passage in all of the New Testament that we have for our first reading today, St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. We hold a treasure in earthen vessels, despite all our weaknesses. We hold the greatest treasure in the world. Tomorrow we're going to have a chance to ponder the pearl of great price and the treasure buried in the field. We hold that treasure. We don't have to look on the outside. We just have to let it grow on the inside. Then he goes through all of these sufferings he's had to endure. But he says why he's gone through them all. We're constantly carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. This dying of Jesus, this self-giving of Jesus, is the chalice he wants us to drink to the dregs. And when we do, when we begin to pour ourselves out like a libation, that's when the life of Jesus is fully manifested, both to us as well as to others. And then he says, for we are constant, we live. So if we're really living with the life of Christ, those of us who have Zoe are constantly being given up to death for the sake of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So we give And that's where the life of Christ becomes manifested in us. And when that life is truly alive in us, then we just give all the more for the sake of Jesus, directly and through those he sends us to receive and love as we would receive and love him. The place this great moral metamorphosis is meant to happen is here at Mass. Jesus asks, can you eat my flesh? Can you drink the chalice I am about to drink? Can you eat and drink me? Can you become me? Can you learn how to do this in my memory and give yourselves over to others, just like I became a ransom in order to save the many? And this is where Jesus hopes that following the way of St. James, we might say, we can. And like he went to the house of Peter with his brother and Peter and Jesus to heal Peter's mother-in-law, we similarly might have that same loving service of the sick. We might go with Jesus, as James did, to raise little girls from the dead, especially that death of sin, that we might go with Jesus, even through extraordinary exertion, up high mountains, in order not just to see him transfigured in prayer, but allow him to transfigure us. And we go to Jesus all the way to the cross, through doing not our will, but the Father's will. This Camino was longer than 478 miles. But St. James is praying that we will see him at the finish.